In many sermons, especially in times past, God was presented as a kind of ever-present sheriff and judge, raising a firm and cautioning finger toward us. And as a subtext, the preacher would often add the words, "God sees you even when no one else does." It echoed the feelings of Job in the Old Testament, who was consumed by the idea that God was examining his every action. In exasperation, Job asked, "How long before you look away from me and let me alone till I swallow my spit?" Job always had a way with words. And we hear in the book of Sirach, their ways are ever known to him. They cannot be hidden from his eyes. But the notion of God as a stern sheriff and judge, instead of drawing souls to him, can also do the opposite in some people. The late philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre said in his autobiography that in the middle of an innocent boyhood hoax, he suddenly remembered the words, "God sees me." And sadly, his response to that was by deliberate choice to turn away from God and to become a bitter atheist throughout the rest of his life. He wrote of the human person as a responsible but lonely being, directionless in a meaningless world, living in constant fear. But God, from whom we come and to whom we are on our way, instead of fixing a cold and calculating eye on us, really imparts life and joy. And if we simply have faith in him and in his ways, a sense of being cared for, not because of what we do or the choices we make, but simply because God loves us. And not that we take advantage of it, we do know through the parable of the prodigal son that God is quite generous in his compassion and forgiveness. God wants us to live life to the fullest, to grow to maturity and to fulfillment. Alexander Pope's expression, "to err is human, to forgive divine," bears much truth, and this eagerness to forgive is a unique attribute of our God. "Father, forgive them," Jesus prayed for his executioners, "because they know not what they do." As the gospel points out, God treats all people alike. He causes the sun to rise and to set on the bad and the good. His rain, a true blessing to ancient people in the dry land of Israel, would fall on the just and the unjust. And in our attitudes too, Christ tells us there must be no spite, no hatred, no vindictiveness towards others. Indeed, he tells us, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." The pursuit of such spite, hatred, and vindication, which we've certainly all witnessed in our world, in our society, maybe even our families and parish, are not of God. Yet even the first Christian communities became divided and partisan, some taking Paul's side, others that of Apollos, still others the part of Cephas, as described in our second reading today. But tensions also seem to give more purpose to a community. They compel people to spend a little more time in prayer, in dialogue, in working toward the restoration of unity. St. Paul tells us, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. As the Lord has forgiven you, so must you do. And over all these, put on love, that is, the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ control your hearts."